Gender ideology tells kids that their gender is fluid and that they can choose from 70 different genders. Well, today we have three guests that will talk about this issue from very unique perspectives. In fact, they were a part of our gender confusion panel at a recent summit in Dallas, Texas. Moms, you will want to hear what these experts have to say about protecting our kids and about parental rights. Stay with us. Welcome to the Moms for America podcast. Each week, special guests tackle the issues facing the moms of America today. Discussions include personal stories and advice on how moms can build a strong foundation of faith, family, and freedom in their homes and country. Hey, moms, I'm Debbie Corlitis, your host. And yes, this is the Moms for America podcast, a show inspiring, encouraging, and educating moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, I want to personally welcome you all. And right here at the top of the show, I also ask you to like and subscribe to our podcast. Please share these incredible podcasts with your moms. And I'm not bragging on myself, I'm bragging on the guests. We have incredible guests that join us every week that help moms really in their journey through motherhood. So please share and like. Appreciate that. Also, if you have an idea for the podcast, would you please email me? I get these at podcast@momsforamerica.net. Again, that is podcast@momsforamerica.net. I do love to hear from you. Any suggestions that you have about topics or feedback, please email me there. Also, if you have not joined the movement here at Moms for America, we need you. Join this incredible sisterhood of moms all across the country. We are uniting together to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. So please, Mom, join us. We would love to have you. We have so much incredible information for you as mamas. So we're here to serve you. All righty, on to today's program. From February 29th to March 2nd, Moms for America held an incredible three-day summit and gala, both to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Moms for America, love that, and to educate moms on a variety of important issues of the day. It was really tremendous, like I mentioned. We had so many great speakers. I think there was close to 70 and panels. And we also had some entertainment. So it was just really amazing. So much important information for our moms. Well, I wanted to go ahead and highlight some of those panels. And again, you can find all this at our website, momsforamerica.us, if you look for our 20th anniversary page. So we have all of that information there. But today I wanted to just highlight one of the panels that I actually moderated. It was on gender confusion. And I want to bring you some of the discussion that we had because, quite frankly, this is one of the most critical issues of our time. And we know that as parents, gender ideology is a war on children and a blatant attack on the family. And we need to be informed, we need to be equipped, and we need to be ready to fight this battle for our children. And we need every tool available. My guests were incredible. In fact, this is the second time I had these folks on a panel. I'm going to tell you about January Littlejohn. January is a wife and a mom of three. She has a master's degree in counseling, and she is a licensed mental health counselor. Her 13-year-old daughter was socially transitioned without her knowledge or consent. Another panelist was attorney Mark Trammell. Mark serves as the executive director and general counsel to the Center for American Liberty, which is leading, and I mean leading, the fight against the assault on parental rights. Huge issue when it comes to the gender movement, parental rights. And then we had another great friend, Laura Perry Smaltz. As an adult, Laura transitioned to being male for nearly 9 years. She underwent years of cross-sex hormone therapy and had two major gender-affirming surgeries. She also made the legal changes to become a man. After a radical, and I mean radical, encounter with Jesus Christ, Laura has detransitioned back to female. You are going to hear from these incredible panelists, their stories, and the answers to gender confusion. We'll pick this up with January Littlejohn. January, tell us, get us up to date what happened with your daughter. She came home one day and basically said, "Hey, Mom, in passing, you know, I'm trans, or I'm transitioning, or I want to be this. I've got a gender issue." And you knew there were some issues with her, but you didn't know it was progressing as quickly as it was. Now, again, January has a background as a professional counselor. So this is something that can happen right in our home and right under our own roof. Tell us what happened.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me today. So at the height of COVID in 2020, our 13-year-old daughter came to us and told us she no longer felt like a girl. And this was shortly after three other friends at her middle school had also started identifying as transgender. And transgender today no longer has a coherent meaning. It does not mean that they identify as the opposite sex anymore. There are about 72 gender identities, if you choose to Google them, that kids are being lied to about, and these identities are being marketed directly to them.
Yeah.
So at the time, my daughter was identifying as gender fluid, which then morphed into non-binary. But what you have to understand is her identity changed four times over 2 years. So as my husband and I were struggling to understand this, because this was really in the infancy of this movement of parents standing up and fighting back. And so I was unaware of how gender ideology, which is this lie that kids are being taught, that you choose your gender identity, that you can choose to be a boy, a girl, neither or both, is being, you know, pushed and infiltrated in public schools all over our country. Mm-hmm. And so for the sake of time, my daughter got into the car. And just so you're aware, I was volunteer of the year at this middle school.
Right. You were a very engaged mom.
Very engaged, highly involved. I ran their red, white, and blue Veterans Day, you know, so they knew who I was. I was even a substitute teacher in this district. And my daughter got into the car and said, "Mom, I had a meeting today about my name," because I thought they would treat it as a nickname. And she said, "But they asked me which restroom I wanted to use." So immediately I panicked. I contacted the guidance counselor and I said, "I would like to know why and how you had a meeting with my 13-year-old daughter without my knowledge or consent." And weeks went by with communication, because they initially told me, "We cannot give you any information about the meeting we had with your daughter. She's now protected by a non-discrimination law."
A 13-year-old daughter cannot be discussed that was a lie. With the parent, right?
But we finally got a meeting with the principal, and we were shown the transgender support plan that they completed with our 13-year-old child behind closed doors with three adults. And the three adults were the assistant principal, a guidance counselor, and a social worker I had never met. And in this six-page plan that they did with my daughter, they asked her questions that would have absolutely impacted her safety. This was not about just calling her a different name or calling her made-up pronouns. They asked her which restroom and locker room she preferred to use, which sex she preferred to room with on overnight field trips. And then in this same plan, which are used all over our country in schools, they asked her, "How should we refer to you when we're speaking to your parents? Should we use your birth name and pronouns or your new name?" And this is to effectively deceive parents that these social transitions have ever happened.
Right.
So we ended up a year and a half later trying to resolve this issue with the district. We filed a federal lawsuit against the school district for violation of parental rights. My daughter is 17 now, so these things take a long time, as Mark will attest to, but she is completely free of any kind of sexual identity confusion.
Thank you, Laura.
And that is what I do full-time now, is I help parents walk their children through this confusion and just know the truth that they were made in God's image.
Yeah. Thank you, January. So, I mean, we can only give you a taste of all their testimonies and their stories, and we're going to get on to some of the resources that all of them have available for us. So, thank you. And this is the power of moms. We don't say no.
Amen.
We don't let them take our kids. We don't let the schools raise them. We say, "No, I'm sorry. These are my children, not yours." So I'm going to go to Laura real quick. Laura, you were older. You weren't a child that transitioned, although I know you had some personal kind of issues in your family. You transitioned, then you detransitioned, all to God's glory. Tell them a little bit about your journey, because I know that people are older younger. I mean, we saw most people that would transition, we usually were older. Now we see it with the kids. But there is still a crisis, gender crisis, across the country in all age groups. Share your story a little bit for us.
Yeah, there were a lot of things I could point to in early childhood and people that I blamed and ways I was hurt. But the reality is I just developed this deep sense of self-hatred. I hated who I was, and I felt like I had no worth or value as a woman. And I didn't realize it at the time, but so much of it was because I was in so much sexual sin, and I was giving myself away to any man that wanted it. And so I just began to feel like I had no worth, and I didn't know who I was, began to lose my identity. And I began to think back on all these childhood thoughts of being jealous of my brother and wishing I was a boy, fitting in more with the boys. And I began to think, you know, the reason that this never works out, the reason I'm never happy in these relationships is because I was supposed to be the man. If I was the man, I know how to treat a woman. And so I began to fantasize a lot through pornography. And a lot of people don't realize the impact that porn had on my life of living this fantasy over and over and just driving that in my mind. And at the time, I had never even heard the word transgender. This is in 2007. That's how much this has changed since 2007.
It's progressed so aggressive.
Absolutely.
It's so aggressive. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I found it on Google just by looking up girl becoming a boy just to see, like, has anyone ever had this thought? I was shocked when there were all these results. Found a support group. And within 5 minutes of going to the support group, they said, oh, you are definitely transgender. Right. It's like, I knew it. I knew this was me. And I was worried I would never look like a man. They said, oh, don't worry about it. After a year or so of hormones, no one will ever know you were a girl. And that's really that was that hook for me, because I didn't want to be who I was. I was trying to reinvent myself. It's the same lie from the Garden of Eden, you shall be as God, you know, to call myself creator. And but I discovered, as no matter what I changed about the outside, as I took all these hormones and I had these surgeries, I had all these legal changes, I had so many people around me affirming me, and I had a job where I was only known as male. I had a partner who called me. He was actually a male-to-female transgender, and he called me his husband. But in all of this, I realized that nothing was fixing the dysphoria inside. Right. I began to realize this wasn't real. And I remember thinking, this is still so fake, no matter what I've done to my body. This is still not real. And I was so angry, I became very suicidal and just really didn't have any hope of life. But the Lord had been pursuing me, and I had a praying mama.
Amen.
And other people, and they began to and they began to tell a lot of other people in the church, and began to get people praying for me. And the Lord just drew me out of that life. I can't explain it other than the Lord just pursued me. He began to transform my heart, and I got radically saved at one point. And I was going to be a man of God, but the Lord but the Lord pursued me.
Amen.
And he didn't leave me there. And so God just has absolutely, I finally walked away from it all really just to obey the Lord. But as I did, God just began to heal me and transform me. He'd been peeling off the layers of all the pain and all the trauma. And just as I began to forgive those that had hurt me, as I began to repent of my own sin, and the desire to be the other gender just faded away. Mm-hmm. And I began to find myself getting more and more free, and then began to desire a husband. And God, in his great mercy, brought me an incredible husband. I was married just about 2 years ago.
Isn't that wonderful? I get choked up, you know? I'm like, and when I talked to Laura and I invited her for the first one, she said, well, listen, I've got to say something on the front end. I give all the glory to Jesus, because this is not something that anyone can do personally. This is a transformation. And it's very true. A lot of the young people or the older people, whatever it is, they're dealing with intense issues. This is not a gender issue. This is either a spectrum issue, a self-confidence issue. There are issues, and everybody just thinks all of a sudden it's a gender issue and it fixes it, and we know it doesn't. Let's go to great testimony, Laura. Let's talk about Mark and what his organization does. And you are out there regularly. You're defending parents that need help. There's many parents that are watching live streaming in the audience here that are looking for help. And then there's also those that have been transitioned themselves as a child, like Chloe or all these. Tell us a little bit about what you are seeing now. I'm sure this was not something 10 years ago you were dealing with, and now it's just on the front of your organization.
That's right. You know, 10 years ago, I definitely had no idea that this would be so much of my practice today.
Right.
In fact, 4 years ago, right around this time, we started filing lawsuits challenging COVID shutdowns. I'm, in my heart, a First Amendment lawyer. I love advocating for religious freedom, for free speech, the right of association. And during COVID, I really thought that those lockdown orders, shutting down our houses of worship, were the most significant civil liberties issue of our day, of my lifetime. And at the time, I was right. But it wouldn't be for my entire lifetime. And here we are 4 years later, and this parental rights crisis is before us. This human rights crisis of young girls being allowed to be young girls. And so our organization, the Center for American Liberty, we represent parents whose kids have been secretly socially transitioned in schools. One of our clients, Jessica Conan. Jessica is a single mom in Salinas, California, who, I mean, goodness, she went to the school board meeting after hearing what was going on. Mm-hmm. Her daughter was in the sixth grade when teachers invited her to join this equality club. And in this equality club, her
daughter...
Watch
out for these clubs.
Well, and what's interesting is this is the only club that meets during the school day. Yep. So all of the other extracurriculars require... they're after school, they would require parents to come pick up their child.
Yeah, that's true.
And then that, because parents would have to pick up their kids after school, then parents know about it. Mm-hmm. But if it's during lunch or during recess, parents don't know about it. They're mm-hmm. not taking roll of who's there. And so during this time, her daughter was convinced to identify as first as bisexual and then as transgender as a sixth grader.
I've heard these. I've had so many moms on talking exactly about this. Yeah. And then they're fearful that their kids are going to get taken away, that DCFS is going to show up at their door, or they get the old line.
And they did.
Right, and they did.
They did. For Jessica, she was called into the principal's office and told, your daughter's now a boy. These are his names, his pronouns, and you need to get on board. Shortly thereafter, social services shows up at her door, asking both of her kids, do you still want to live with your mom? So we filed a lawsuit, and the result of that lawsuit was a $100,000 settlement benefiting Jessica and her daughter, Alicia. But that's one case.
That's
These are happening all across the country. In May, we'll be arguing at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, trying to have a court declare unconstitutional these parental secrecy policies because they violate parents' right, their fundamental right to direct the upbringing of their children.
Yeah.
You know, you also mentioned Chloe Cole.
Right.
We're representing young women who have been transitioned surgically
as
minors.
Without their consent.
No capacity to give consent at 13. Layla Jane is one of our clients. She had a double mastectomy at 13 years old.
It's horrible.
13 years old. So we're this is really a new area of medical negligence is not new, but medical negligence in this area of medicine is very new.
Yeah.
And so it's very time consuming. We've been litigating these cases for about a year. We have another probably year and a half of litigation ahead of us.
Wow.
But what I would just like for your audience to know is that there is a recourse.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about all of these stories is how parents are standing up, moms are standing up, and they're fighting back. And when one of them does it, it's contagious.
It is.
And then it creates
courage
a movement.
Is contagious.
And it's awesome to see.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Mark, for what your organization is doing. Thank you so much. And this is, I was telling them backstage, the two things right now that everyone comes to Moms for America is, it's always been education, for sure, because that's so important to our moms, but it's gender confusion. That's why we did our gender confusion booklet, which is available today at our booth. It's also available on our website. It connects us to all of these resources, and it's parental rights. Parents know that they are raising their kids. And when these teachers and these schools and these psychiatrists or doctors come in and they start rearranging our kids and taking advantage of them, and we've got people on our staff that their kids are dealing with this. And this is a huge issue. Huge issue. So, January, what are some of the resources that you have developed? January speaks all across the country, and you go around with this sign, right? What does the sign say?
Detransition Awareness Day.
So she takes pictures with everyone with this and just heightening the awareness. So what are some of the resources you have for our moms?
So through an organization that I volunteer for, Do No Harm, so it's donoharmmedicine.org, there is a parent resource page if you look under Protecting Minors from Gender Ideology. So those are great resources. Separately, because Do No Harm is apolitical and non-religious, I have Christian resources available that I have put together for parents of all ages, because I understand now that we have got to be inoculating these kids from this insidious ideology, because what parents and grandparents need to understand, even if you homeschool or have your child in a private school, it's not a matter of if they're exposed, it's when.
Right. And how early, how young.
How young. We should not be putting internet or smartphones in the hands of these children under the age of 16. No child should have social media at all. And so my call to action is really to be inoculating them, because if you wait until your child is infected with this ideology, it is a hellish path to walk through it. But I am a testament that you can. Yeah. And so that is what I do now. But it takes radical steps to walk children through. And so one of the resources that we have separate from my role at Do No Harm is a church transgender response guide. And in your bags, you should have received one of these postcards with a QR code. Mm-hmm. In this guide, it is almost 100 pages long, and it's designed for pastors and parents. So it explains what gender ideology is so that you're armed with that information. It also goes through how to walk your child through this confusion. For pastors, it goes through church policies and legal issues that they have questions about, because right. that's really important. Sure. But it also has a chapter on CPS, Child Protective Services, because oftentimes parents do not know what to do when CPS shows up at their door. Mm-hmm. So this is a great guide for parents to understand what's going on and to really inoculate their children from this ideology, because we have got to put a protective factor on these children's brains. So when they hear the lie, they're exposed to the lie, they identify it for what it is. It is a lie.
It is. Amen. Mark, what do we do when Child Protective Services shows up at our door? What do we do when the principal says, you know, this is what you're going to do? How do we respond correctly and courageously and being bold and brave, so you don't feel like you're being beat down and shoved in a corner and saying you don't care about your child? We'll see a little bit of a clip of a movie here that Epic Times did where they say, do you want a dead daughter and a live son? I mean, this is really intimidating.
Yeah, my response would be twofold. First, question everything, right? Ask a lot of questions. Get all the facts. Get it in writing if you can, okay. right? But the second thing is to lawyer up.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to. And this is...
What if it's finances? What if someone says, I don't have... This, yeah. What do you do?
So, I mean, our organization, we would love to come alongside you and help defend your parental rights. And we do so without charging you a dime. We have supporters who make that possible.
How about that?
So don't let finances get in the way okay. of defending your legal rights right. and protecting your family.
Amen. Thank you. Laura, what would you say? What's your advice? Because you're coming it from very personal. And I think we sometimes need to hear this from someone who's actually gone through it.
Yeah, never forget that the gospel's the answer, that Jesus Christ is really the one, he's the one that gives us our identity, he's our creator. In fact, the Lord specifically told me when I was crying out to the Lord, and the Lord said, you cannot claim to love me and yet reject my creation. And he said, let me tell you who you are. And so we can't forget, because I'm seeing thousands and thousands detransition, and they're so broken, they have no hope, they're so angry. So we've got to be presenting the gospel. My husband and I have just opened our own ministry. You can check us out at called Eden's Redemption, talking about how God is redeeming the curse that's on the earth, that we're under the curse, but that the Lord is bringing redemption to all of this. So check us out at edensredemption.org.
Wonderful.
Oh, can I give this
yes.
website? I
go
forgot.
Ahead.
So
go
if you
sure.
did not get one of these, I have some available. Just find me. I'll be here all day. But it's childparentrights.org under resources. And if you are a parent struggling with this, I do have some of these guides with me, and I would be happy to give you one, because We have got to come together as Christians and as moms and support one another in this issue, because there is hope, just like Laura is saying, just like Mark is saying. There are people there to help you and help your child through this, but it's not easy.
I want to ask one other question, Mark. What is the legal ground that they feel that they can be so bold with this? What are they standing on? Because they're not standing on parental rights. They're not standing on the love of a child.
Right.
They have nothing. They're not connected to this. What are they legally standing on?
Well, I think especially in the school setting, they're asserting that there is this right to privacy, that kids have a right to privacy from their parents. Mm-hmm. And in fact, something interesting.
What in the world?
Southern California, there's a school district that parents ran for school board. They won, and their first order of business was to pass a parental notification policy, flipping the script, right?
Right.
Saying, look, we've registered our kids by this name in this school. If my child decides to come to the school and identify by something other than how we've registered the child, then you'd have to notify parents. This is common sense.
Right.
The Attorney General of California filed a lawsuit against the school board because, according to the state of California, children have a right to privacy from their parents. It's just crazy. I don't know how, there's no polite way to put it.
Right.
It's just crazy.
It is just crazy.
Yeah, it's an attack on the family, ultimately. It's an attack on the
sure
family
is.
And the child. This is not in the best interest of the child or the parent-child relationship.
Absolutely. We hear this all across the country. Divide the home. Get in between the parents. Divide that home. Make the parent be the enemy. The child is the victim, and then all of a sudden they've got a whole house that is upside down. And this affects everyone, right? If you start to start transitioning in your home, that affects the brothers, the sisters, right? That's one thing that you talk about too, right?
Yeah, this affected my whole family, and then you don't know what to do at holidays and other things, and it just created havoc in the whole family.
Yeah. It is a very tough, tough issue. So we thank you again for coming. I mean, they're flew in from all across the country. Where are you from, January?
I live in Tallahassee, Florida.
So nice of her to come in from Tallahassee. And Mark, you flew in from?
I'm from Maryland. I flew in from Baltimore.
And then?
Oklahoma City.
So these are people from across the country coming in to share their story, their hope, what God can do. And what we're going to do together as Moms for America all across the country, no one has taken our kids. We're going to fight for their identity because God has made them in His image, male and female. Amen? What an incredibly powerful discussion. So I really hope that you can share this. And if you are going through this situation in your home, that you can utilize this information for you as a parent and as a mom. You must fight back. And remember what Mark just said about questioning everything and lawyer up. If a Child Protective Services tries to interfere with your parenting in this matter or any matters, lawyer up. And like January did, fight back. And like Laura did, let there be a transition, because Jesus Christ is the hope. As a reminder, Laura's ministry is edensredemption.org. January also has resources on her website at childparentrights.org. Utilize those incredible resources. All right. Moms, as I always do, I want to remind you that Moms for America is here to help you in a variety of ways. Along with the discussion we just had, we have a gender confusion booklet. We have a parental rights booklet. We have CRT and SEL. We have podcasts on this. We have seminars and webinars. So please, please go to our website, momsforamerica.us, and utilize all the incredible information that we have for you as a mama. I'd also like to encourage you to check out our signature program, which is called the Cottage Meetings. You can find those on our website as well. These are 12 lessons that will inspire and educate you on America's amazing heritage so that you, mama, can share those principles of liberty in your home and in your community. This program, again, with all the other resources on our website, will help you impact your family in a very, very powerful way. From parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to the boardroom, Moms for America is here for you. All right, moms, I do say this every week. Special thank you again for joining us. And we do appreciate all of those that are listening and sharing. We believe that liberty begins at home, Mom, right with you. You're the heartbeat of America. And that's why this movement is so powerful, because the mamas are leading it. Please join us again next week for another informative discussion for moms just like you. Remember, like, subscribe, and share. And remember this most of all, let's keep changing our world one home at a time. See you next week, moms.